Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad that you took the opportunity to tune in to tonight's broadcast. We've got a great show for you tonight. And when I say we've got a great one for you, I really mean we've got a great show planned for you tonight. My store, if you go to my homepage, drjessewalker.com, or drjessewalkerinc.com, either one of those. The store is complete. You can go ahead and order. The ebook is available for immediate download, and it's on sale, as a matter of fact. My book, After the Passion, is also available at amazon.com. Just simply type in the title, After the Passion, Now What, and it will come up. It's also available in ebook format on Amazon.com. So we're ready for you. We've got some discounts that we're offering. And as a matter of fact, if you send us an email and tell your friends about us, if you tell 10 of your friends about the show and show proof of that by sending in their emails, once you check with them, we will send you a free gift of 10 bookmarks that you can put in for your favorite reading. So you can certainly do that. Simply send us an email at online, all one word, at drjessewalker.com, online at drjessewalker.com, and we'll be more than happy to send you out 10 free bookmarks. It won't cost you anything. We'll pay the postage for you, as a matter of fact. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, the author of Falling in Love with Me. And we're going to bring her in. Ms. Blake, welcome to this evening's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. I'm glad to be on the show again tonight. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just wonderful. I'm very excited about tonight's broadcast. It's always a joy, always a pleasure to have you on the show with me as the times progress.
Yes, I see we have a very, very interesting show tonight, so I'm sure there will be a lot of great dialogue tonight about the show.
Right. Well, just as we prepare to get started, why don't you go ahead and put in your commercial to let people know all about you and the two books that you've authored out there.
Sure. Well, I'd like to start off by saying that my website for the company Fostering Leadership in You, which is FLY, where we help you soar and accomplish your goals, you can go to www.fosteringleaders.org. Or you can give us a call at 770-866-2162. And on your site, you'll see a couple of books that are on there, as well as information on our professionally certified life coaching services.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And your book is also available online, is that right?
Yes, actually, Falling in Love with Me and Dying to Wake Up are both in ebook formats. And congratulations to you, Dr. Walker, on you getting your book there as well. So it's a great book, After the Passion, Now What? So I encourage everybody to check those books out when you get a chance.
Thank you for that. And let me tell you, Ms. Blake's book is an excellent read. once you pick it up, you will not want to put it down. So I encourage the listening audience out there to go ahead and also get your copy of her book. Are you working on, what are you, you're a life coach as well. And so for people who want your services, they just simply contact you. You got an email address that you have separate, or is it all part of one email address?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to our website, fosterleaders.org, and there is a contact us page, or you can, again, give us a call at 770-866-2162. We do have packages, and we do have an easy go. We just want to help people like yourself, like you do every day, Dr. Walker, help people be the best that they can be and accomplish their goals in life.
Well, we certainly try to, and I'm proud of the job that you are clearly doing out there, and I encourage you as well to keep up the good work. All right, we're going to get ready for tonight's story. Let's get ready to go right into that. You know, oftentimes I get a lot of feedback from previous shows that we've done, and I'm always excited about letting the people know that, you know, we're here. We're here, and they can go back into the, they can go into the archives and listen to any show. And we've done over 600 shows now, to our credit. So they can certainly go in there, take a look at any of those shows and see what it is that there's one I know that's near and dear to their heart. All right. Tonight, we want to thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, I want everybody to know that for the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, that's all of us putting our contributions in. With your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may actually prove to be beneficial to your relationships. The opinions, as always, that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's program are merely those of my own and those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information, as always, that is presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. All right, now, tonight's story. Our characters are Karen and Levi. Once again, tonight's characters are Karen and Levi. Prior to getting married, some 14 years ago, Karen and Levi both at that time were 23 years of age, doing their best at discussing their future of a long life together forever. Now, at that time, they were both fresh out of college, with no children, and the world ahead of them to journey. Now, unfortunately, a series of bad past decisions have caused this couple to be on the brink of divorce. Now, the last 9.5 years have been all but a roller coaster between moving all over the place and switching jobs with two elementary school children and having to uproot them from their schools and friends and while they're in fifth and sixth grade. Now, here are a few of the regrettable decisions they have made that have brought them to this point in their lives. Now, this is something that you really want to, you know, pay close attention to. Number one, Karen thought it would be a good idea to move in with her single mom after getting married to help save some money. And also, she thought it would help her mother with household expenses since her mom was a single mother. Levi was opposed to this because he cited it was not manly. Thus, they struggled for years trying to keep up financially in their own places, traveling from job to job and coast to coast. Now, Levi thought it would be, now number two, Levi thought it would be a good idea to wait to have children until they got solid on their feet. Instead, Karen wanted to have children within the first 2 years of their marriage. All right, and it goes on. Number three. Does Karen want out with enthusiasm because the stress on the finances and their relationship seemed to escalate as a result of this? Now, number three, Levi wanted to get a second job part-time to help with the added expenses around the house But Karen thought he just wanted that as an outlet to get away from the stress of the children around the house. Again, she won out, thus causing more stress at home. And then four and five. Number four, Karen wanted the kids to be involved in music and sports activities, which were quite costly, when Levi insisted they could not afford it. This was not a win-win situation where now the children were complaining about being home all the time when their friends were involved in extracurricular activities. And finally, number five, Karen thought the couple should have sought marriage and financial counseling years ago, but Levi was opposed to this also because he felt it would be a waste of time and money. This, too, was a poor decision. Now, as we come to the conclusion of this, now their marriage and family appear to be out of control because the love for each other has dwindled, and they have less than $1,000 in their total savings account, with bills hanging well over their heads, including student loans, and both are stressed and depressed at now the tender age of 37, okay, because they both took out more loans, as a matter of fact, than they actually needed. As they cry out for help, they don't have a clue or the money as to where to turn, and divorce seems imminent. Now, we start out with tonight's question, and I know it's a long story, and we'll reiterate it throughout tonight, but we start out tonight by asking the question, does love really conquer all, or are we really missing something or fooling ourselves? Let me go ahead, Ms. Blake, and I know it was a long story as we bring tonight's topic to the forefront, and that is, are you happy with decisions you made in your past? Are you happy with decisions you made in your past? And our question again, does love really conquer all, or are we missing something, or are we fooling ourselves? All right, what are your thoughts?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Dr. Walker. People say that it does. That's a really loaded question. Love does not conquer all. There's a saying that love doesn't pay the rent. But I hope that with this couple that they can work something out. It sounds very, very stressful on the both of them. And I'm sure it's not far from what happens frequently. Definitely counseling would have helped and still can help. Love and a willingness to work together and work it out can conquer all. I think we've got some interference somehow also, Dr. Walker.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know where that's coming from. Do you hear it now?
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, it's very clear on this end. Okay, thank you for that. So the bottom line, I know we want to think that it does cover all, love conquers all, and I know that I believe that to be a spiritual text, but, I mean, when it comes to this, does it really cover all, or are we really missing something? Are we fooling ourselves? And the short answer might be, another question, what's love got to do with it?
Well, one of the things I just said is that love with a willingness to make it work, I think, can conquer all. If the two of them really are determined, you know what, we love each other and we're going to do whatever it takes to work this out, then I think that in itself can be a solution.
You know, and I agree with you. I really agree with you because it has to be that willingness from both parties. And I believe that you can just make it through any situation if you stick it out long enough and if you set the mindset that, you know what, this is what I want to do. I'm going to make it. But it will not fly with one wing, just like a plane can't fly with one wing. It's going to take
Absolutely.
Both parties. Right. It's going to take both parties to determine that, you know what, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, maybe even. So I think that that's a very valid point with you. Now, let me ask this other question. And, again, you're listening to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you would like to contribute, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear from you. And, of course, we welcome your comments that you may want to send in to the studio online at drjessewalker.com. The question becomes, the question becomes, do you think that this couple should have gotten together, even though they've been together for 14 years? Should they have gotten together, even though they seem like they discussed everything? But still, having discussed everything, it just seems like from the story, the facts that are presented in the story, this couple were never really on the same page. Do you think they should have gotten together?
Well, you know, they say hindsight is always 20/20. For once, I really don't have an answer to that one. But the fact is they are together now, because people change, and they could have agreed on everything and still could have had problems after they got married. So it's a matter of working it out.
But even with all the, she felt it was a good idea. I mean, women do have, you know, that intuition, and she felt, you know what, let's move in with my mom. My mom is a single parent. We're young, 23. We can help her out. At the same time, we'll still have a room to ourselves. We don't have any kids right now. We can save some money. And he felt at 23 that this was not a manly thing to do. I can somewhat understand. But if you don't have anything starting out, that can possibly give you a little boost. What, if anything, would you say to a 23-year-old, let's say if it were your son, what would you say to them and his wife for making that recommendation?
Y'all don't need to move in here.
I certainly understand that, too. I certainly understand that.
And let me explain, because, you know, I've even been through separation and divorce, and I never moved back with my mother. I just think that if at all possible, it's better for couples to have their own space. And I think as a man, he should have put his foot down. He should have said, honey, we are not moving in with your mom. Absolutely not.
Right. And as a matter of fact, he did, because they didn't move in. but they still caught it rough financially. I think that if he would have, if he had gone along with that, I certainly think that you have to have a time frame set where even if no matter which party is recommending that, I think the important thing becomes, you know what, okay, we'll move in. We'll give it no more than 6 months to a year max. And then you have a plan on paper of the strategies and everything that you're going to do, which means if he wanted to get a second job, you know, let's do these here, whatever it takes to build that finance so that after a year we can get us a plan, you know, our own place, you know. And, of course, that depends also on if the mother-in-law and the mother and the daughter-in-law got along as well.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Dr. Walker, and I just looked at the story again. Right, they didn't move in. I think that without a plan, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. I say that all the time. And so I think it's excellent to have a definite, definitive timeline to be out of there, because people do fall on hard times, even when they start out well sometimes. So that's understandable.
All right, let's take a look at another one of the issues that they had. He thought it would be good to wait at least 2 years before they started having children. And, you know, he thought it would be good to wait, you know, for a period of time until they could get solid, become solid on their feet. She didn't agree with that. She wanted to have kids because she was thinking more or less about her internal clock of having children. Well, to be on the news, they talked about a woman who, at the age of 47, had triplets. I thought that was in real life today.
I've heard of people in their 50s, so, you know.
Oh, my goodness. That's scary. Right. So, how do you feel about the thought that he was even saying, why don't we wait to have children, where she seemed to have, you know, wanted to have kids within a couple of years. She didn't want to wait. So, I mean, there alone, I find that to be conflicting.
Yeah, I think it's always a good idea, if possible, to wait. And I know couples who didn't. I know of couples who said they wanted to start on children as soon as they got married. But I do think waiting is best to give the couple a chance to adjust, even with couples who already have a child, because that does happen. Even after they get married, to still wait a while before they have the next child, because marriage is an adjustment, and it gives you some time to get your finances right as well.
Okay, I think that is so important that we think about this. Let me just ask this question, and I will give my contributions to it. And the question is, where do you think this couple made their first bad decision? Well, I believe that the first bad decision that they made was in terms of getting married without having established something. They're 23, coming out of college, and, I mean, that's understandable. I didn't see anything wrong with them having a plan for the future. They could certainly become engaged. She stayed with her mom while he stays with wherever he was, with his parents, assumably. And then they say, well, you know what, we're going to give it a year and a half. We're engaged. We're going to get married in a year and a half. Set a date where the woman can use it. It's the woman who's ready to get married, and the guy, you know, sometimes I wanted to use the word coerce, but I won't use that. And said, you know, the men, it's harder for men to really be ready for it. But to give the woman some confidence that he's serious about this, you know, let her go ahead and set a date and just ask her, you know, if she would allow it to be at least a year to a year and a half. And then have a strategic plan saying, okay, this is what we need to have saved. This is what we need to have surplus. This is what we need to, you know, maybe get a down payment for an apartment. You know, you need first, last, and security in some states. So I think that even if they saved, let's say $5,000, you know, enough to give them kind of a boost and have their own place, I think that would be good. What do you think? So I think that they made their first bad decision by probably getting married without having a solid foundation on, you know, what their future was going to be, other than just theoretically talking about it. Where do you think they went wrong making their first bad decision?
Well, and again, let me. I should have started this show out by saying I've learned I'm one of those people that doesn't live with regrets. So because I just see everything tends to work out for good and has a purpose in life. That's just my philosophy. Because if we don't, we'll beat ourselves up for the rest of our lives, and that's not healthy. But I think that looking back on it, just as my experience as an adult at my age at this time, getting married at 23 is kind of young. I know that it used to be that the 20s were considered the optimal child-bearing ages, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily happen that way anymore. So, you know, 23 versus 28 and closer to 30, there's a huge amount of maturity that takes place in that time frame. So
I agree.
That may be part of it right then. And I remember being 23. In fact, I think I was 24 when I got married. But looking back on it, that's just, it's kind of young still.
Right.
That's
so,
just my opinion.
All right. Now, so you're saying that you are one of the individuals that don't live with regret. But let me just say, I mean, and it's after the fact. But would you say that having gotten married, by comparison to your experience, which you presented, would you say now in hindsight that's still, as you said, that's still relatively young? Meaning, would you say that might have been a bad decision for them to do?
Well, and I won't call it bad, but for me personally, again, this is only my opinion, I think men in particular, are not that mature until they hit their 30s. And they're still not all that mature then, too, no offense. They're a little bit more, maybe a little bit more grounded by then. I mean, the 20s is still that time. You're getting out of college. You're still having fun. You're still exerting your independence. So, you know, people have different personalities, and some people are mature, but in hindsight, Yeah, I think waiting to the later 20s is better, or even later. That's just my opinion.
Okay, all right. You won't get an argument there. I think that that's a very good way to look at things. You know, the older, and sometimes we've had shows where older doesn't always mean wiser in a lot of cases.
Right.
You know, I want to take another thought that we had, a question here. If you just joined us, where tonight's topic is, are you happy with decisions you made in your path? And, you know, and I can respect how you feel about not being one of the first people, the individuals that live in regret, city of regret. But I do know that a lot of people have, including myself, have made certain bad decisions, and they can hunt you for a very long time. We do often, you know, we've said, if I knew what I knew 5 years ago, if I knew what I know now several other years ago, then I certainly would have done some things differently. One of the questions that comes to my mind in terms of this story, with no money and no clue as to what to do, is there any hope in saving this particular marriage? My first thought is, can this marriage be saved? I say yes, but they have to first, you know, get some help, get the help of a, solicit the help of a third party that's going to be objective, like counseling. But now, in this story, Levi says they can't afford counseling. But I'm thinking you cannot afford to be without counseling. So
right.
This becomes very, very important that you have got to have some help, because otherwise the question is this marriage in danger? Could divorce be imminent? And I say, yes, of course. Give me your thoughts, Ms. Blake.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I would, they need to find a way to get counseling. You might have noticed during my little commercial I talked about easy pay plan. Find somebody with an easy pay plan, but find a way to get the help. And, again, it's the love for each other and the willingness on both parties, because it will not work if both of them are not buying into making it work. That's the key.
I agree. I mean, that's always the case. You have got to, both parties have got to be on the same page, and it appears that for a long time this couple has not been on the same page. So, you know, the bottom line here, if their marriage is going to work, and I do believe that it can be saved, they're going to have to sit down with a third person to help them sort of map out a viable future for their marriage and for their
right.
And now that it's not two of them, they've got children. Let's go to the phone line, 954-236. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, give us your thought or your take on anything that's been presented or tonight's topic.
Hi, Ms. Blake.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very interesting topic. A few things as I listened and I thought about them being 23. Yes, that's mighty young. And I think years ago, especially being in the church, they, you know, that would be pushed to get married that age because, you know, it keeps you out of doing things that you should not be doing as single people, as, mm-hmm. as the church would say. You know, and so getting married at 23 wasn't so much of a bad idea. However, as I listened to this story, I realized that they were not on the same page from the get-go. You know, so I'm even wondering what happened, why they actually went through. I guess they thought that love could cover everything. And although I think love is the foundation, and love, I mean, you need it in order to even get started. I think it can. I don't think it covers everything. There, you know, you could be totally in love with someone, but if you guys are not on the same page and you don't have the same aspirations, at least close to it, you know, it makes it very difficult to get along, because even if you agree, you know what, I'm going to change for you because I love you so much, I mean, that's just at the moment, you know. You can't, you're going to go back to who you really are, you know? And so I think that they should not have gotten married at that particular time. They needed to work things out first through counseling, premarital counseling, to make sure that they could actually be on the same page
with most of the things, even if they're not on the same page with everything, but at least most of the things. But I think it can still work out now that they already got married and it's been, you know, a few years and now they have kids, and if the love is still there, then I do believe if they seek counseling and both willing to work through everything, then I believe it still can, it can work. You know, that's my thought.
Well, Rose, we appreciate your thoughts on that. And so basically 23 was rather young for this couple. And it may not be that way for a lot of couples. And something, going back to piggyback on something that Ms. Blake said earlier, you know, I mean, science has proven it, that men mature a lot later, perhaps, than women do. And I think it's so important that people really sit down, and Rose, you mentioned that premarital counseling. I think it's very important that people really sit down, because you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know how things are going to work out. You don't know what's going to happen down the road. So it becomes, I mean, so important that people really just kind of like think, try to think things through, and not just what might be in the front of you for now, that, okay, we're going to abstain, and that's what I think Rose was referring to, being married early in life, to abstain from having sex. You know, and they're looking at the spiritual aspect of it. Well, you know, there's also that practical aspect, because, I mean, if you're going to get married and you don't realize the frustration of things, and I'm not encouraging doing anything that's against anyone's spiritual beliefs, you're going to get married, and then if you don't have some kind of plan that's going to keep you together, wouldn't, and Rose, I want to direct this to you, wouldn't divorce be equally bad, I mean, in the sight of God, if versus, and then, Ms. Blake, I'm going to bring that back to you as well. Wouldn't marriage be equally as bad, I mean, divorce be equally as bad, if not even worse, because you now, you've come together, you've taken some vows before God, and now divorce is imminent. So give me your thoughts. And certainly I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything against their spiritual beliefs.
Oh, I do believe that, you know, divorce is going to be bad also. And I'm not encouraging getting married just so that you can engage in having sex because you're in the church. Because that's certainly not a reason to get, that's not the reason to get married. I just believe that being in the church, you know, years ago, the church would encourage, if two people are together and they believe they want to be together, the church would encourage marriage instead of just living single life and engaging in sex. But by no means am I saying that they should have gotten married just so that they can have sex. I would never say that.
Okay. We're going to send that question over to Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, wouldn't just getting a divorce, I mean, you don't want to get married. Let's just say, let's back this up to it being a spiritual couple. And they don't want to, you know, they want to get married because they want to be intimate. You know, their hormones are out of control. And they don't have a crystal ball to see what would bring them 14 years later to the point of where they are now. So, yet, divorce is even, wouldn't that be equal as bad or worse? What are your thoughts?
Well, I heard a judge say one time that marriage is a whole lot easier to get into than it is to get out of. And so that's that's kind of what I tell people. I would not encourage them to rush. You know, it certainly does present a dilemma, and that's something that they're going to have to work out. But it's better to be sure that you, and to be ready, than to rush into something and it doesn't work. Because now you've got a whole nother set of complications on your hands.
You've got a whole nother set of complications. I agree with you fully. And if people, I mean, if younger people and even older people, because it's even happening to older people, you know, and going around for a second time trying to get married, you know, they're not thinking things through. They're not really thinking, saying, wait a minute. You know, and I think sometimes our modalities of learning are different and varied, then I think it becomes vitally important for people to say, okay, I hear what you're saying, or I'm listening to what you're saying, But maybe let's put this on some paper. Let's write this out. Let's write, you know, even if you're not an artist, let's just draw a picture of a car. Let's draw a picture of a house. Let's draw a picture of some kids. Let's draw a picture of, I'm serious, you know, elementary. Let's do it on the elementary level. Let's draw a picture of some the bills, what are likely to take place. Let's draw a picture, if you're young enough, let's draw a picture that, you know, how many kids that we project to have. How many, you know, I hate to say the kids are an accident, but unplanned, you know, I'm getting some static here.
Okay.
Unplanned, how many situations are there unplanned childbirth? You know, some of those things that happen. I mean, this is what I'm saying. You create your own crystal ball to some degree as best you can, to start looking at a whole picture, and then you sit down with a qualified professional, a life coach. You can sit down with a counselor, for me, premarital counseling, and then get them to, and hopefully it's an older person that's qualified that has the not only the credentials but the experience. And then they can say, okay, this is great. You all have mapped out some. Now let me tell you what you have left out of here, you know, and then they help you to build this. And now let me tell you what the likelihood is and what it's going to take to keep this together, your vision, your dream, and what you've got to do. And I think that then it becomes doable. We're going to go back to Rose in a second. First, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you want to comment, we have some comments that have come in. You can certainly send your comments to online at drjessewalker.com. We also are going to take some more questions if you have them. Let's go now to another question, and Rose, I want to pose this to you. Recognizing that this couple is in debt above their means, you know, they got these student loans, and this is what happens to a lot of young couples, young people when they're in college. They're getting loans for more than what they really need for their college education or their tuition. And, I mean, they may be getting it for housing. I don't know. They're just getting it for other things other than that, and even for entertainment. And then they don't realize how stressed you become when they start getting the student loan. They got to pay it back, you know, 6 to 9 months after graduation. And it's almost like a house payment. What do you think? Recognizing that this couple is in debt above their means, what advice, if any, Rose, would you give them to help save their marriage and family? You know, and address the issue of their student loans first.
I am going to say that they, I mean, the fact that they're both working and they, hopefully they'll do a budget. But as far as the student loan is, they have some programs out there that can actually help them with their student loans. They have loan forgiveness program, depending on if they're working in a public setting for the government or they can certainly lower their payment depending on their income if they're working for the public, any kind of public job that they might have, whereas they go in a program for the student loan, and depending on their salary, they'll do a calculation to see how much they will pay each month, and they pay that for 10 years. And anything after the 10 years is just wiped out. It doesn't matter how much more they owe on that loan after 10 years of paying it, if they're in this particular program, the rest is just wiped out. So they can, that's something they can look into. I'm not sure if it's going to be in the state that they're in. I don't know if it's in every state, but I have recently learned about that program. I believe that they need to really sit down and budget together, put their income together, and make some sacrifices. You know, maybe, you know, they don't always have to go out to the, if they go to the movies or go to dinner, you know, and I mean, they only have two kids, and do everything to budget. Figure out, you know, when are they going to buy clothes for the kids, but put everything on paper, you know, because when you do it that way, you find that it's easier to maintain and to manage your budget when instead of just going and spending, but put everything on paper and also include in that budget some savings. I don't care how small it is, as long as they include some savings into that budget. And you'll be surprised, you know. They might have more than they think they do once they put it down on paper.
I think that's another valid point. You know, and you touched on the student loans issue. I think that what has to happen is they have to realize that with that paper and that budget, they've got to stick to it, just like you said, and I certainly agree with that. Let's take some of the comments that have come into the studio this evening. Are you happy with the decision you made in your past? This mail writes in, Ms. Blake, I'm going to send this one over to you. He writes in, this is a very interesting topic because I was just thinking about this on yesterday. I'm now 47 and realize that I am not happy with decisions I made in the past, particularly when it came to relationships. I found that I let a few good women slip through my life, and now I'm ill and alone, desiring to have someone for companionship. Unfortunately, no one wants to take on a sick person. Now, sounds like he may have been a player, and we're assuming, but he'd say he let a few good women go through his life, and I guess he wasn't making the right decision to settle down, and now he's sick and only 47, and it's hard for somebody to take on a sick person. Do you find that to be true?
Well, I really empathize with him. That must be a difficult situation. But what I would say to him as a life coach, again, I just encourage people not to beat up on themselves or live with regrets. You have to deal with where you are right now. You can't go back and undo the past. And, you know, everything is possible. There are some women out there that are so nurturing that they would be open-minded to loving and nurturing someone. So I would tell them not to give up hope.
Okay, I think that's a very valid point. Let's just say, I mean, I don't know this to be the case or any facts to support that, but let's just say if he has HIV, you know, a carrier, and then he's an honest person, and he wants to present that to someone who comes along. Unless it's somebody else that's a carrier, fully blown, what would you say then in a case like that? I mean, knowing anybody want to...
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There are people out there who, you know, just love a person for who they are. And, you know... So, again, I would still tell him it's not the end of the world because,
right.
You know, people are shocked. You take the same thing with herpes. You know, there are lots of people out there with that, and people are willing to enter those relationships even though they are not impacted at the time. So that person would just have to take necessary precautions if they got married. But, again, I think there's always hope, and that's what
okay.
I was trying. The main thing is do not beat up on yourself because you cannot undo the past. You have to move
on. I love the fact that you encourage people to not beat up on themselves, and I certainly feel that same way. And at the same time, let me put this to Rose. Rose, if this were you or someone that you know, a good close friend of yours, that was considering dating this young man at 47, knowing that he has HIV or herpes for that matter, and your friend does not, would you say, you know what, you can be his ministry by being, you know, what precautions could they possibly take?
That's a hard one. I totally agree with what Ms. Blake said, though. I agree with her. Don't live in the city of regrets. I think that's the same way I feel about that. You cannot undo the past. So it makes no sense to live in it. Now, also, I agree that there are women out there are very nurturing, and they would take up that on themselves to nurture this person. I'm not sure how high. I don't know how sick that person might be. I hate to say that. Some people are just given. And motherly, you know, have a motherly instinct, and although they might not be able to engage in certain activity with the person because of the illness that the person have, they have this sense of wanting to help, wanting to think that I can make this person feel better. And that is enough to satisfy that person because they're so nurturing. So there might not be a lot of them out there, but there is enough of them out there that this person can actually, might actually find one of those people. And I would say even if he were to go online dating, you know, and try to find someone online and be totally honest with this person, with those who he come in contact with, I'm pretty sure that, you know, he might find someone who is willing to take care of him, because that person might be only looking for a companion, looking for someone to live with, or, you know, to take care of. That satisfaction to that person. So I think it's possible.
Okay, but to answer the question directly, Rose, your friend, because I have a totally different view from you and Ms. Blake, and I can appreciate you all, but your friend now that is not a carrier, your friend is healthy, and knowing that this, you know, assumably, not even this guy who sends in the comment, but a man in this, at that age that has HIV, and clearly, I mean, how many people are going to be honest? But if he were honest and your friend has presented this to you, what do you, no, let's go even deeper, your sister, what would you tell that person? What would you tell her?
You know, honestly, this is what I would tell my sister or my good friend. If you love him, if you think that you can live with it, if you can take the precautions as to not to contract this particular disease that he has, or virus, or whatever it is that he has, if you are okay with it, I am not going to tell them not to do it. As long as they know what they're getting into, they're going into this with their eyes wide open, they probably do their research to find out what they can do to take the precautions as to not contract this. And I'm pretty sure, more than likely, they might agree to, well, I don't want to say that, but if that's what they want, you can't make a person do what he or she doesn't want to do, and you actually can't stop a person from doing what he or she wants to do. And I really think that when a person comes to you and open up to you, they already know what they really want to do, okay? They're just venting, maybe. So if my sister or my friend came and told me that, you know, I'm going to get with this person, I really want to get with him or I want to marry him, but he has this, that, and the other, you know, and they're just venting, I would be a friend or a sister and listen. Yes, I would let them know. I would caution them as to what they might be getting into, just so I know that I open their eyes up to anything they might not have realized. And if they still want to do it, I'm going to support them.
Well, I think that that's an interesting point, and let me just present my take, and then we've got to move on unless Ms. Blake want to chime in. I can respect what you all have said, and, of course, this show is all about people rendering their opinions, and the audience or participants or listeners otherwise on the globe can decide on what it is they would do. In a situation for me, if it were my relative or my friend, I would I would discourage it, because he made some decisions that are regrettable for his past. And again, like Ms. Blake said, I wouldn't want him to beat up on himself. But then my friend innocently going into that, and I could appreciate his honesty, I would encourage them against that, because I don't think that you need to be a victim of someone or a person to someone else's bad decisions, particularly when it comes to your health at that age. Maybe in their 70s or something along that line, or late 60s or something, it might be different, you know, because we develop differently. Ms. Blake, did you want to chime in and before we take another comment?
Yeah, just very briefly, because I come from a public health standpoint, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions about things out there. You know,
okay.
I just was pulling up an article that says AIDS is not a death sentence, because there used
right.
to be a time when that's how people saw it. But right. there's been a lot of advances. And, again, we don't know what this gentleman has or is dealing with. It
right.
just could be any type of illness. And I just want
right.
to, for the sake of awareness, even things like AIDS and herpes, you know, people don't always contract these things as a result of their own doing. So that's something else to keep in mind. You know, there may be someone who meets somebody that has been through some kind of trauma or whatever. You have, you know, babies that are born HIV positive. So there's multiple
right.
things.
And, right.
Again, I think I like Rose's advice and her opinion, but, of course, we all have our opinions and we respect them.
right. Okay. Thank you for that. Here's another man. He writes, are you happy with decisions you made in your past? And, you know, as a matter of fact, before I read his comment, I think, Ms. Lee, we ought to have a show on that. That particular issue, you know, should you date someone and you say AIDS is not a death sentence, but let's say
right with
a
sexually transmitted infection or disease.
Yeah, knowing sexually transmitted disease, should you date someone that it may seem fatal? I think that would be a good show. What do you think?
That sounds like a great show.
Okay, yeah, we'll put that one out there. All right, this male writes in. He says, and we've got about. 6 minutes before we bring the show to a close. I have a friend who played the field so much in his life until now he is also ill and can't find a woman to take care of him. He is only 42 and gravely ill with no one to help him. I guess people really don't think when they are younger that things do catch up with them. Let me just go to you, Ms. Blake. You're in the mental health field. You're in the health field. And let me just ask you quickly, is there any truth to that? Sometimes people, and we all know that it is, but give me your thoughts. People just don't think when they're younger, and these things do catch up with you.
Well, again, people can be risk takers when they're younger, but then I always have to say there's a variety of reasons that people end up with whatever it is they end up with. And I always caution people not to be so judgmental, because that person that wrote that, they might have just been lucky. So that's just something to keep in mind, and people forget that, you know.
Okay.
But again, you know, we just hope that there are people out there that are compassionate and that can show love and concern, even if they don't get in a relationship. Maybe they can provide the companionship.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Rose, I'm gonna throw this one out at you. This female writes in. She says, I personally think relationships are one of the most difficult things that can happen to us when it comes to making bad decisions in the past. I married a man several years ago that I thought would be the perfect husband. We got along very well up until the real person showed up. In fact, there were a number of warning signs that I saw but ignored, and now I'm paying the price for it. If you ignore the warning signs, you will pay the price. Rosa, you think that the warning signs – really have a price out there that people ultimately pay?
Yes, I do. you know, sometimes we ignore them, and when we do that, most of the times we pay the price for it. It's just that sometimes we think we're so much in love, and we think, well, you know what? That person will change, or I could change that person. It won't be so bad. I could live with this because I'm so much in love with this person. And so we just kind of ignore the warning signs when we see them until it's too late, when we get all up into it, we get married, and then we now realize, you know what, I should have done something about that. I should have not gone into this because I saw this. But, yes, I do believe that we see the warning signs. What we do about it is something else, but most of the times I believe it comes back to haunt us if nothing is done about it. But I think even when we finally see it, when we are married and we're in it too deep, and we actually now realize that these warning signs were there years ago, or you know, we can still work through it. I really believe that as long as the two parties love each other and really want it to work, it can always work.
Okay, well, thank you, Rose. We're going to expedite things down in a few seconds or less. This female writes in, I tend to agree with that. Things can work if you want them to work. This female writes in, she says, I do have a series of regrets that I'm having trouble struggling with every day for the past 5 years. I turned down an engagement from a wonderful man who ended up marrying someone else a year later, and is going very well. And it's going very well. I could not see it at the time, she says. That's what she's saying. I could not see it at the time. I'm having a difficult time reading what she said. I could not see it at the time, thinking that I could do better, and now I'm alone, hoping that one day he and I could meet up again. I should have tried to maintain the relationship, even if I was not ready to marry at that time. Unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball to see down the road. I miss him so much, I can't stop looking back. Ms. Blake, here's one of those situations where you tell people don't beat up on themselves. What do you tell her? She's hoping that
she's
they get married down the road. She's what?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
She's going to have to look ahead. She's going to have to deal with the present and look ahead because, you know, who knows? She may or may not have had that experience. Again, things have a way of working for good in our lives. And I do believe that, you know, she needs to just look forward. It's not simple, but she's going to have to do that because, you know, again, we can't undo the past.
Okay, and I think that that is so important that we realize that we cannot undo the past. Here's another comment, and this will be the final one that we take for the evening. Sheila writes in, she says, my husband and I, in reference to are you happy with decisions you made in the past, my husband and I have made several bad decisions over the past several years in our lives, especially when it came to job. 15 years, we have moved to 5 other states, taken on minimal jobs, and now we are older without sufficient employment. We both talk about if we had stayed on our past jobs, we could look forward to a pension within the next 3 years. My message to people out there listening would be to think. My message out there to people listening would be to think and rethink before you make any major moves in your life, especially when it comes to leaving a good job. Ms. Blake, we'll give you the last word on that. What do you think? Is there any validity to what she's saying?
I think that's well put, that you really, on any major decision, think and pray, if I may add to that, about your decisions. Mm-hmm. Don't make them too hastily or with emotions.
You know, and I would like to add to that, and with what you're saying, I'd say pray about it and think about it. And, I mean, I don't think there's anything else that could be said. I want people to really think about that because I have run across over the years so many people that have made bad decisions and given up good jobs and went out there and moved from state to state, coast to coast, without a plan. And then as they've gotten older, it's caught up with them and it's put them in, to some degree, in some financial ruin. And that could become a burden on even extended family members. So I agree. People need to think and rethink, like this young lady said. On that note, we are out of time. I want to thank Rose for joining us this evening. We did have a few others that wanted to get in, but I thought we produced so many to just stay with what we had at the time because he wanted to wrap it up with just that group. So we thank all of you for joining us and join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program, which airs from 7 to 7:30. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday, join us next Tuesday for another live show, the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.